This week on the Red Eye Report, a leading TikTok executive confesses that Americans' private personal identifiable information is being stored in Beijing. Apple CEO Tim Cook goes to China in an attempt to regain $200 billion in lost market share. California's Governor Gavin Newsom goes on a tour of China in the name of climate change while telling Politico on Monday, "I wish I was the President of the United States." And overzealous media outlets around the world freak out to news that Russian President Vladimir Putin is on his deathbed. But is this the truth, or just a massive troll? All of that and more coming up this week, Thursday, October 26th, on the Red Eye Report. Welcome to the Red Eye Report. I'm your host, Matthew Burgess. We begin this week with the continued collapse of the Chinese economy as real estate property values continue to plummet following the bankruptcy of China's largest developer, Evergrande Group, and the arrest of its chairman, Zhu Jian. Evergrande, which went into default back in 2021, still has $300 billion in liabilities and continues to hemorrhage money. Back in March, the company unveiled a $19 billion proposal in an attempt to satisfy its creditors, and in August, it filed for bankruptcy protection in the United States. In the meantime, China's second-largest developer, Country Garden, which currently has over $200 billion in liabilities, was declared in default yesterday by Citicorp International, as reported by Bloomberg. Country Garden missed its first dollar bond payment of $15.4 million U.S. in September and has now exceeded its 30-day grace period. What kind of fallout is being felt in China because of this? Besides property values being cut by more than half over the last 2 years, and millions of Chinese who are now broke or homeless after putting down deposits and paying mortgages for pre-construction properties that will never be finished, according to China's official statistics, over the 8-day golden holiday, which began September 29th and ran through October 6th, the average real estate sales in 35 representative cities was down 17% compared to the same time period last year. The value of real estate sales from the top 100 firms in September was only 404.2 billion won. This is not only the lowest sales in 5 years, but it also represents a drop of 29% on a year-to-year basis. In a research report released by Morgan Stanley on October 10th, consisting of a survey of 2,000 consumers which was taken between September 25th and September 28th, more than 80% said they were reluctant to enter the housing market or unsure if they wanted to do so when asked if they planned to buy a home. Furthermore, 42% of those surveyed believed that real estate prices were going to fall over the next year, while only 23% believed they would increase. The father and daughter team in charge of Country Garden seemed to be trying to make an escape. It was recently discovered that daughter Yang Huyan donated 5.9 billion won, or $820 million U.S., that she had liquidated from her stock holdings to the Goxiang Foundation, which is really a family trust set up by her sister in Hong Kong back in June. This is very similar to what Zhu Jiang's ex-wife and son did just before Evergrande's debt explosion leading to their arrest. Will the father and daughter team from the Country Garden be able to get out in time, or like Evergrande's Zhu Jian and his son end up in the custody of authorities? We'll keep watching to see. In other news, Matthew Green, a member of the Canadian House of Commons, in an interview with David Liebner, head of TikTok's Privacy Public Policy for the Americas, asked if TikTok had access to its users' private data. The answer? Yes.
Do you have a parent company in China that has access to user data? Yes or no?
Yes, there are instances where...
Is that Chinese company, your parent company, is it also... regulated under Chinese state national law, that should the Chinese government want to access their information, third party to you, that they could do that, sir? Yes or no?
Well, I'm not an expert in Chinese law.
Under Chinese law, all companies operating in China are required to turn over any and all data to the Chinese Communist Party if requested by officials. Currently, TikTok has over 150 million American users, including two out of every three American teenagers. Back in May, a report by Forbes confirmed that TikTok was storing tax information, including tax IDs and social security numbers, of its paid content creators in China. Back in March, TikTok's CEO testified to U.S. Congress saying, in the past, American data has been stored in Singapore and is only available in China as needed.
American data has always been stored in Virginia and Singapore in the past. And access of this is on an as-required basis
as by our engineers globally.
28 U.S. states have banned TikTok on government devices, and the European Union has also banned the app on state-owned devices. California Governor Gavin Newsom is traveling through China this week to speak with Chinese leaders about climate change. On Monday, the governor and his wife landed in China. The governor's week-long trip will include stops in the capital of Beijing, plus additional stops in Guangzhou, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Shenzhen, as well as the province of Jiangsu. The stated purpose of this trip, quote, California and China hold the keys to solving the climate crisis. As two of the world's largest economies, our partnership is essential to delivering climate action for our future communities and beyond. Our decades-long work together proves what we can accomplish together, cleaning the air, accelerating the transition to electric vehicles, protecting people from extreme weather, and conserving lands and oceans. Quote, the office of Governor Gavin Newsom. What specifically is on the agenda? In the capital of Beijing, the governor is set to meet with high-level national and local officials, where they will sign a memorandum of understanding to advance climate collaboration. They will also discuss clean energy transition and expanding the economy while fighting climate change. But why would the governor of California be working with China on clean energy transition? According to research by the Rhodium Group published by the BBC on the 7th of May, 2021, China emits more greenhouse gas than the entire developed world combined, being responsible for 27% of the world's greenhouse gases in 2019. Additionally, the World Economic Forum has reported that China's air pollution levels have surged to pre-pandemic levels. In 2022, China went on a spree of approving new domestic coal-burning power plants and restarting suspended ones. In 2022, the government approved a record-breaking 106 gigawatts of new coal-fired power capacity. In the first half of 2023, China approved the construction of 52 gigawatts of new coal power plants, began construction of 37 gigawatts of coal power plants, announced 41 gigawatts of new coal power plants, and restarted 8 gigawatts of previously canceled projects. The amount of coal that will be burned by these new plants is astronomical, especially when you understand that 1 gigawatt of coal power represents the output of one new modern coal-fired plant. China currently ranks number 25 in the world for the worst air quality, while having 6.1 times higher levels than the maximum suggested by the World Health Organization. In Hong Kong, the governor will participate in a conversation with Hong Kong University leadership. In the Guangdong province, Governor Newsom will meet with regional leaders and businesses who have helped transform individual cities into major hubs for electric vehicles and electric public transit. However, China's EV market is a complete scam. China officially calls its EV market the new electric vehicle market, a term that covers not only pure battery-powered vehicles, which are being charged at stations powered by coal, but also hybrid and plug-in vehicles. According to a report by Forbes on February 1, 2016, Chinese media reported that about 108,000 new EVs were registered for plates in the first 10 months of 2015. That was only 63% of the 171,145 units supposedly sold in that period. 2 months later, the official production number of new energy vehicles soared to 379,000 for all of 2015. The problem is subsidies and corruption. China subsidizes its new EV automakers at a level that can be as much or more than the cost of production of a low-quality new EV. Buyers of new EVs then receive a state subsidy for purchase, which is often matched by their local government. So who's buying all these cars? Rental companies owned by the auto manufacturers. The very respectable carnewschina.com out of Beijing describes the scam like this. Quote, EV maker makes a crappy EV or bus or truck for, let's say, 200,000 yen. Then he launches the vehicle on the market for, let's say, 400,000 yen. He can put any price on the car he wants, no limit, no checks. He then sells the vehicle to a rental or lease company, which he also owns. This company, as a buyer, will get local and central subsidies, which for a bus can be as much as 300,000 yen. The company has made 100,000 yen in profit on the subsidies alone. This has started a phenomenon of car graveyards being discovered all over China. Quoting a report from Bloomberg News on August 21, 2023, quote, near a river and along a deserted tram track, around 1,000 EVs sat gathering dust. Some had stickers from a ride-sharing company, which shut down earlier this year. Others bore branding that indicated they belonged to a separate ride-hauling service that has also gone out of business. Also on the agenda, Governor Newsom is looking to continue talks on wind energy. The governor is looking to pay China and utilize its coal-powered factories to produce the parts needed to build a wind farm off the coast of California, similar to the one being built off the coast of New England, which has devastated sea life and is the suspect of causing an uptick in whales beaching themselves. How dedicated is Governor Newsom to getting in bed with the Chinese on these so-called green environmental projects? Here's the governor speaking at the University of Hong Kong on Monday.
After I'm gone, I promise you, Democrat or Republican, you're going to have someone that's there for the long haul on these issues, that believes foundationally these issues. I want you to know, regardless of what happens nationally, subnationally, you have a partner in the state of California.
Also on Monday, Governor Newsom told Politico, quote, I wish I was president of the United States. Then we could just do it now. Also traveling to China this week was Apple CEO Tim Cook. Cook made his trips in hope of regaining market shares that had recently been lost to Apple's biggest competitor in China, Huawei. Back in September, CNN reported that Apple lost $200 billion in 2 days as their stock dropped by 2.9%. This following China announcing its banning government officials from using Apple devices, as reported by the Wall Street Journal. This ban comes after the release of Huawei's new smartphone, the Mate 60, which caused major concerns for the U.S. government regarding China bypassing sanctions of advanced semiconductors, said National Securities Advisor Jake Sullivan at a White House briefing. It was believed up until the release of Huawei's new Mate 60 that China's own domestic chip production by China Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp, or SMIC, was limited to 14 nanometers. However, the Kirin S9000 chip used in the new phone is claimed by Huawei to be using 7-nanometer technology, which would be a massive leap forward. However, tech insiders and average Chinese people seem to be skeptical. One theory is that China has not developed the ability to produce 7-nanometer chips, but instead is using stockpiled chips manufactured in Taiwan pre-advanced semiconductor ban, while others are suggesting that the chips are not at all 7-nanometer silicon. Proof of this theory has been circulating on Weibo, as disappointed Chinese are showing how non-functional the phones are. In one example, a Chinese man is standing in a field explaining how he purchased satellite services for his phone. However, every time he tries to make a satellite call, he gets an error message saying, "This is not a working service." Another example disproves Huawei's claim that the phone has advanced artificial intelligence. State propagandists have been circulating video showing that users trying to pay at stores, rather than unlocking their phones manually and opening up their banking app, allowing their QR code to be scanned, simply have to hold their phone up, and as soon as the artificial intelligence sees it as being scanned by a vendor, the phone unlocks itself and displays the QR code. But what is actually happening is much more low-tech and frightening. By holding out photographs and printed out pictures of QR code readers in front of the phones, it has been discovered that the cameras on the phones are always on, and they are constantly looking for anything that resembles a scanner. This has led many to wonder, what else are these always-on cameras looking for, and what are they doing with the images they're seeing? Regardless of all this, the Mate 60, which was strategically released before the new iPhone, has sold more than 1.6 million units over its first 6 weeks, and an even more impressive 400,000 units over the last 2 weeks, but is now struggling with sales due to scarcity, which would suggest that Huawei is running out of pre-banned chips. And, just like the iPhone 15, has been a disappointment for buyers who have failed to see much in the way of innovation from either company over the previous year's model. This year marks Apple's third decade in China, and for Apple enthusiasts in China, support is unwavering. After Mr. Cook traveled to Apple's Taikoo Li store to meet young players of Tencent's Honor of Kings online battle game, he wrote in Chinese social media platform Weibo, "The energy tonight was off the charts." Later in the week, in Xuan, Cook met with the region's most senior Communist Party official, where he announced he was donating $3.4 million to the government-backed China Foundation for Rural Development after previous pledges to support education and much-needed flood relief. After a meeting in Beijing on Wednesday, Cook was seen on Chinese state media saying, quote, "My trip is going exceptionally well," unquote. And finally this week, on Tuesday, October 24th, a Telegram account belonging to General SVR reported that the 71-year-old Russian president Vladimir Putin was found on Sunday on the floor of the presidential bedroom in a convulsively arched position, rolling his eyes, having suffered from a heart attack. It continued that Putin was moved to a specially equipped room in his residence, where the necessary medical equipment for his resuscitation had already been installed. General SVR and others then went on to say that while the president's condition had been stabilized, he is under constant medical supervision. The incident seriously alarmed the president's inner circle, despite the fact the attending doctors had already warned that Putin was very ill and was unlikely to live until the end of autumn. It continued by saying that Putin had been represented by a body double at meetings as of late, while Putin's spokesperson Dmitry Peskov called the health rumor a hoax and said the talk of body doubles, quote, "does nothing but induce anything but a smile." Russian state-controlled media outlet TASS reported everything is fine with him, Putin, and there are no body doubles. The Telegram account General SVR has more than 390,000 followers spread across three separate accounts and has been a great source of speculation over the years. It is claimed to be run by a former Russian lieutenant general, but no one knows for sure, and the General SVT refuses to give the names of any of its sources. It also has a history of making wildly embarrassing claims about the Russian leader, saying back in December Putin had fallen down some stairs and soiled himself, and back in September of 2022 that he had faced an assassination attempt in Moscow. As it is extremely unlikely the Kremlin would publicly admit to any of this even if it was true, for now, what we do know is that if Vladimir Putin was incapacitated or deceased, either Russia would take its constitutional stance and Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin would replace him for a period of 3 months, or a bloody fight for power would begin that the world would be witness to. For now, we're going to file this story and all the sources who jumped to report on it under "I would rather be first than be correct." And that's all for the Red Eye Report for Thursday, October 26th. Until next week, remember, if communism, socialism, or fascism is the device, and the destruction of Western democracy and freedom is the intent, the Red Eye Report will be watching to bring you all the details that aren't being covered in the mainstream. I'm Matthew Burgess. Thank you for your time.